Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling into the happier happy hour. I was socializing with my fine in-studio. He is former Wisconsin State Senator Dale Schultz. He was twice elected Senate Majority Leader as Republican, and yet he still keeps company with me, Dale. I won't hold it against you. I hope the audience won't either.
You need a better class of friends.
Dom's in Europe, so, you know, you'll do.
I'm what's left.
Dale, you were telling me Richland Center voted for Barack Obama twice, this swing county over here on the Mississippi River.
Not just Richland Center, the whole county.
The whole county, Richland County did.
Yeah, and I think that's what I always use as an example towards the end of my career, is just how open-minded and thoughtful people are here, and I think there's a reason for it. You know, in a world where we're now fed a steady diet of angry, fearful messages designed to agitate us, Richland County has always been aspirational. It's had community leaders as far back as Ada James and her father, who were prominent political people, free thinkers like Frank Lloyd Wright, whether you like them or not, they were here. They, were thoughtful. We had women in civic positions long before many of the rest of the state. The first female dean, Marge Wallace, came from Richland Center for the university system. We had Ann Greenheck, a woman who was, when she was chairman of the county board, was one of very few in the state. And Rita Kidd, as mayor of Richland Center. And at one point, we had all of those people in office at the same time. The city was run by women. Now, in a world where we know women are terribly underrepresented, right here in Richland County, the citizenry was not bound by, any stereotypical thing. What I think made these women successful is, as I said earlier, they weren't lighting their hair on fire. They weren't appealing to fear in people. They were thoughtful, competent administrators who could sell a message of hope and a better way for this county to move forward. And people enthusiastically bought it. And whether I agreed with any one of them at any given point is immaterial.
Yeah,
I often at times agreed with them. And I felt like they listened to me and they were engaged. And I think that is really a story that reflects well on every citizen in Richland County.
Now, I went to lunch with Phil Nee from here at WRCO, and Phil told me there's flooding that happens in this area. And when it happens, it's neighbor helping neighbor. And it's WRCO is probably out there telling people which roads to avoid and where the flooding's worse. And Phil said, it's been a point of pride in for this radio station, but geographically, I mean, the coulees in this unglaciated area, Dale, getting a radio signal over in this part of the state is a challenge. There's not as much broadband access as there are in other parts of the state. Dale, do people over here feel like they got to look out for each other? because no one else is looking out for him, or do I misinterpret that?
I think there is a real sense of community here, and I think people know that we're thinly enough populated that we can't afford to be angry at each other, that we have to find ways to work together. And that's a powerful force for good here, and it's something that's always made me feel comfortable and optimistic about the future. You know, I've been out there helping to play sandbags with my neighbors. I've been out there with my neighbors checking water depths on the gauges. And whatever else the emergency government needed to have done, just like, you know, all the rest of my neighbors. Yeah, and when it was all over, we felt really good. And this radio station provided exemplary leadership with the staff being here, being on the air, keeping people posted with what was happening in the remote parts of the county. And it was the only link most of the time that people had. And I think everybody feels terrific about that legacy, and it's something that makes this radio station special for this community. That and, of course, the aerobic polka every morning when I head off to the gym.
So you've told me, but I don't get up at 5:30. That's Phil D's slot. He is Dale Schultz, former state senator, friend of ours. He's with me here in the WRCO studios. Dale, there is a challenging congressional race. We talked about Van Orden. I perceive him as an insurrectionist because he attended the insurrection. Brad Paff. Brad Paff's actually going to join me at 5:30 today. He's the Democratic nominee. Dale, contrast these two men. How do you see the politics, and where do you think the community is going to come down? It looks like it could be a close race. Right now, Van Orden's ahead in the polls, but hard to trust the polls in a small sample.
Well, Brad Paff went through a bruising primary and with very challenging opponents. I've known Brad Paff for a long time. We are not close, but I have always respected his knowledge. And, you know, I think his challenge is convincing the agricultural community, and I should point out 50% of the jobs in Richland County are connected to agriculture, that, you know, he's their guy. Brad Paff is as close to a political expert on agriculture as exists in this state. He has a wealth of knowledge. He was our state ag secretary. It was a good appointment by Governor Evers. It was very disappointing to watch how he got jerked around by some of the Republicans in the state Senate. That was just foolish. We have better things to do than play those kinds of games. I think, you know, Brad Paff has a very bright opportunity. He's low-key. He's soft-spoken, but he's a thoughtful, hardworking guy, and he's no insurrectionist, that I can tell you.
Well, stick around to 5:30, everyone, and you can hear from Brad Paff. Brad's going to call in on this fine show in like 20 minutes. We got a fine guest until then. He is, well, I might let you go soon, but he is Dale Schultz. Dale's been sticking around. We appreciate you sticking around, Dale. I've got to ask you, you said during the break, and the people didn't hear this, Dale, so I'm going to ask you to repeat yourself. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, in regards to the fraudulent Trump electors, he was more than willing to deliver them to the vice president, Dale. Where do you stand on Ron Johnson, sir?
Well, you know, let me just be, again, as clear as I can be. I'm worried about democracy. And when people don't accept elections, they don't understand our Constitution, the rule of law, then we are going to get what we have coming. And if we don't deal with these insurrectionists harshly to send a message, then what it becomes is practice. And I see what goes on in authoritarian regimes around the world, where they claim to be democracies, and it's not pretty, and it never ends well. And that means that each and every one of us, whether we're a Republican or a Democrat, independent, Green Party or whatever, have to accept the responsibility that if we want this system to continue, where we have a competitive opportunity to lead our government, then we all have to stand up. And if you're silent, then you are complicit with those insurrectionists. And I know Ron Johnson said, well, I only held them for a couple minutes. That's no excuse. The fact is quite plain and quite clear to me that he had a duty to say, no, I'm not going to touch those, as Mike Pence did, and I'm not going to participate in it. And it's going to be very interesting to see what the Justice Department does for those people who decided that they had the authority in Congress to throw out legally and lawfully cast votes in states around this country. And if we don't do that, then it becomes nothing more than practice.
Dale, I got to ask you about the other fraudulent Trump electors, and I think I just heard you call Rojo an insurrectionist, but the others, Andrew Hitt and Kelly Rowe and a number of other Republican Party officials that were willing to go along and sign these very official-looking documents and commit fraud, to my opinion, Dale. How should they be handled, to your opinion, sir?
Well, I think that is really up to the Attorney General. You know, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not even allowed, never was allowed to play one on TV.
I play one on the radio occasionally, sir.
On the radio. But, you know, the reality is it's wrong. People know it's wrong. They need to be held to account. And I'm very disappointed that a Republican Party that I supported for over 50 years would somehow or another find this kind of behavior acceptable. It's wrong, and I'm watching very closely to see what Merrick Garland does about this.
Dale, when you listen to the Packer games, do you listen on WRCO?
All the time.
Are we going to beat Tampa Bay this weekend, sir?
Yes.
All right. Very popular options. If you were campaigning on behalf of another Republican, would you do so counter to the Packer game like Ron DeSantis did?
You know what? That's like felony stupid for a politician to be interrupting people's Packer games. And I don't know who set that up, but maybe it was the same guy that set up that Donald Trump campaign event in front of that store down in Georgia.
Oh, Four Lakes Landscaping. Dale Schultz, thank you so much. Come back. More Devil's Advocates live in Richland Center.
This staffer stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand-deliver to the vice president the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling through the happier happy hour. Got to thank my most recent guest, a fine one indeed, former State Senator Dale Schultz. He's from Richland Center. And as Dale was exiting the building here, the WRCO, WRCE facility, Highway 14 in Richland Center, Dale said, you know, the fraudulent Trump elector, former Republican Party chair, Andrew Hitt, well, he used to be a Richland Center guy. So apparently he's on Dale's radar. We hope you've got us on your radar right here in Richland Center, broadcasting live from the RC News from the Center. And hopefully you're liking what you hear so far. You can be a part. Richland Center, everyone, statewide, worldwide at 844-967-2789. I got a fine guest coming soon. Congressional candidate, Democratic nominee Brad Paff from the 3rd CD. That's this part of the state, the part of the state I'm broadcasting from today. But in the meantime, I can take your calls. Even conservative love muffins like CJ. How you doing, CJ?
Hey, Cootie. Is Mr. Schultz still there?
Well, he's not in the studio, but I suspect he's in the building. He's got lots of friends here. I think he's just glad handing his way out the door. What's that?
No, I don't blame him. But I was kind of hoping to come in for him, too. But thank you, Cootie, for taking my call. Even your guest host won't take my call anymore. So you still have the courage, and you say you invite all views but not many of your hosts do anymore. I just wanted to mention to Mr. Schultz and you that, you know, number one, it took January 6th for the Democrats to care about crime.
Number Come on, two, it took CJ.
Martha's Vineyard for the Democrats and media to care about illegal immigration. So, you know, the
problem. And do you think that was a good act, CJ? Let me ask you, the Martha's Vineyard, the delivery of 50 asylum seekers from Texas, from San Antonio, to Martha's Vineyard. Nope. Do you think that, well, you I mean, know, I thought it was a little inhumane people. As a Christian. That's not what Jesus told us to do.
50 people, and it's a humanitarian crisis.
No, that's not what I said. I said it was an inhumane, cruel thing to do, CJ. Using human beings as policy pawns is kind of cruel.
Democrats can face, Crudy, they finally, that President Biden on day one ended building the wall. I believe in a wall with a door so we know who's coming
so,
in.
Trump never finished the wall either, dude. What you're saying is Biden didn't finish Trump's wall that Mexico was going
to
pay for.
You know how much it cost us per day to pay the fines of the contractors that were hired to do it? $3 million a day.
Man, we were spending like $1 billion a mile under Trump. Ask Steve Bannon where all the money goes, man.
Oh, my God, Crudy. You're just unbelievable. So it was okay for the president to fly or VP Harris, do nothing Harris, in the middle of the night for months to fly him in the middle of the night. And that's why the press never covered it. You know, they hid it for as long as they could. And now all of a sudden, even Mandela Barnes cares about crime.
Okay, CJ. There's a lot of unpacking to do here. And I don't know if I got time for all of that. I think it was terribly inhumane and perhaps even criminal for the governor of the state of Florida to mislead asylum seekers in Texas and transport them to a location which is not what they were told they were being transported to. You know, just think about that. CJ, you show up at an airport in Mexico and they dump your ass off in China, dude. I mean, how would that feel to you? And I understand, you don't like the immigrants. You don't like the open borders. But these are asylum seekers. These are people fleeing violence in a foreign country. It's so terrible, they marched across South America or Central America to escape the violence, CJ. And your bright idea and Ron DeSantis' bright idea is put them on an airplane. And I tell you what, when they got to Martha's Vineyard, the people stepped up compassionately. They acted as Christ-like. They welcomed the immigrants. They fed the immigrants. And in some cases, they provided transportation to where they were represented they were supposed to go to, which was Boston, CJ. But, you know, I hope the next time you get on an airplane, you end up in a different city than the one you expected. And then you tell me what a great plan that was. And see if you don't fire the travel agent. 844-967-2789. Allie from Madison. Welcome, Allie. What do you got for us?
Hi. I have a Dale Schultz story, if you have time.
I got a little bit of time. Yes, ma'am. About three minutes.
Oh, during the uprising and sing-along, the only time we could see Scott Walker was a monthly building finance meeting because it was money from the state. So we would go in so we could sit and stare at Scott Walker. Well, Dale Schultz was on the committee at the time, probably in the very beginning. Anyway, at the end of the meeting, Dale Schultz wanted to talk to him, to Scott Walker. And there's a door right from the meeting room into Scott Walker's office. Well, Dale Schultz, who is bigger than Scott Walker, stood in front of the door so Scott Walker could not get into his office until Dale Schultz was finished telling him what he wanted to tell him, and he talked to him for quite a while, and that was the most exciting building meeting I've ever been to.
Yeah, you know, I actually first met Dale under slightly false pretense. I approached Dale as one of his constituents, which was not entirely 100% true. My father-in-law was one of Dale Schultz's constituents. And by the time he came out, and he met with me in his office for like 45 minutes, Allie. And Dale was very generous of time and spirit that day. And although Dale and I didn't end that meeting, seeing everything eye to eye, let's just say, I left that meeting with a tremendous sense of respect for him. Because the guy listened. He heard me. And I felt like he was governing. And once upon a time, Allie, many years ago, it didn't matter to me if we elected Democrats or Republicans. Unfortunately, that's changed. There's not a lot of good Republicans like Dale Schultz in service of their state or country any longer. Come back, Brad Paff, Democratic nominee for the third CD. We'll talk on the phone next. More Devils.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. Crudy on the road from Richland Center, right here in the 3rd Congressional District, great state of Wisconsin. And right now we're joined live via phone by Brad Paff. He is the Democratic nominee, currently a state senator from the La Crosse area. Brad, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a great opportunity.
Well, Brad, I think the last time I saw you was at the Democratic Party convention. You've subsequently won the nomination for the Dems, and congratulations to you. And Brad, you've got a insurrectionist opponent, Derek Van Orden. Our pal Pat Kreitlow, as we were coming back from break, I was listening to his up north commentary. Brad, there's not going to be a congressional debate in the third. What is Derek Van Orden's excuse, sir?
Yeah, well, that's really sad. The fact is, a candidate for public office is unwilling to debate their opponent here. It's something that is beyond the pale, in my opinion. The thing is, the people in this district deserve to hear from the candidates who are running for office what our ideas are when it comes to lowering costs, what our ideas are to make sure that we can make sure that we expand health care and to make sure that our economy continues to grow. But instead of actually having a back-and-forth conversation, debate, Derek Van Orden has decided that he's not going to do that. He would rather stay in his basement and continuing to just listen to partisan ideologues and continue to participate in the Twitter universe rather than face the real voters here in Western Wisconsin. It's a disappointment. It really is. We can do better than this.
Well, Brad, I feel a little safer knowing that Van Orden's in a basement somewhere. The last time I saw him in public, he was acting in a very Alex Jones-like fashion at the Donald Trump rally in Waukesha. He seemed, you know, hyperbolic at best and a little unhinged at worst. Brad, this guy was right there pushing rigged elections and needs to, you know, do it all over and basically what, decertify the election for the benefit of Donald Trump. I don't know how you serve if you can't acknowledge the outcome of the last elective cycle.
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. I mean, here's an individual that's running for office. It wants to serve in an office in which a year and a half ago he was in Washington, D.C., part of that awful, shameful, deadly day in which he would not accept the election results from the previous election in 2020. I mean, this is not somebody that should be anywhere near our nation's capital. In my opinion, he's a clear and present danger. He is a threat to our democracy. And again, it just goes to prove the fact that he doesn't know Southwest Wisconsin. He doesn't know Central Wisconsin. He doesn't know this district. He is an interloper who moved into this district in 2019 for the sole purpose of running for political office. And that's what he's been doing. And since that time, when he lost in 2020 against Congressman Ron Kind, I mean, he has really caused chaos in this congressional district. Verbally harassing a teenage librarian aide over a book display, trying to get on an airplane with a loaded handgun, and of course, you know, what he did out in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, I mean, it is beyond the pale. It is not anything that normal people here in western Wisconsin and central Wisconsin condone or support. And I think it disqualifies him from serving in office.
Folks, you are listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. Got a fine candidate for the U.S. Congress. He is Brad Paff, the Democratic nominee in the 3rd CD. And Brad, Van Orden, I should clarify, has not been criminally charged or alleged, at least as far as I know, because of his participation in the January 6, 2020. But he has been criminally charged, as you noted, bringing a handgun, a loaded handgun, on, you know, through airport security in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, I believe. Brad, the question I would have, and it caused for speculation, but how did the gun get with candidate Van Orden to Cedar Rapids? Do you think he had the gun on the trip out there?
Yeah, that's a fair question. And the thing, on top of that, he actually had a round in the chamber. I mean, that is the scary part. It's one thing he had the gun. Another thing is he had a round in the chamber. And this is just, it's absolutely beyond the pale. This individual does not have the temperament, doesn't have the judgment, does not have the character to serve in Congress. And on top of that, he won't even have a debate. So the people of this district can ask questions and learn more about where the two respective candidates, where we stand on the issues that are important. May it be health care, may it be making sure we fund their schools, growing our economy, all of these very important topics that are important to the voters of this district. We can't have the opportunity to have this conversation because he won't do it. Because it's not part of his echo chamber. It's not part of this extreme ideology that he participates in. It's not something that, you know, he could pre-script. And that's what's so sad about all of this. And so how is he going to, serve the people of this district? You know what's going to happen? Is he's going to look to people like Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, individuals like Lauren Boebert, people like Jim Jordan, and that's where he's going to take his guiding principles. And that is sad because the people in Stevens Point, the people in Richland Center, the people in this district up and down this congressional district deserve to have a member of Congress that will be responsive to their needs and not just participate in this absolute chaos that somebody like Derek Van Orden brings. Somebody that is just unqualified for the position, and he's a clear and present danger. He shouldn't be anywhere near our nation's capital.
Candidate for the 3rd Congressional District, Brad, I don't know if everyone realizes Ron Kine held a seat for years and years, 20-plus years, and the 3rd CD is a very competitive district. Dale Schultz and I were talking earlier today about how swingy this part of the state, this sort of Mississippi River portion of the state, can be. Brad, with the Dobbs decision and the overturning of Roe v. Wade, to your opinion, and I think that happened the very same day that you were with me at Buzzard Billy's in La Crosse broadcasting.
That's right.
But how do you think that has changed the complexion of the race, Brad?
Oh, tremendously. Tremendously. And the thing is this, is people realize that for the first time in our nation's history, a right was taken away. In fact, 50% of our nation's population lost the right that they had. And the fact that, our state legislature will not meet in order to move forward, and the fact that, in our nation's capital, we have a political party that has tripped over themselves in order to make it very, very clear that they are allowing unelected Supreme Court justices to do their politics. That the people of this district, particularly the women of this district, of all ages, they recognize it's gone too far. They recognize that something has to give. And, I recognize the fact that we need to do a lot better than what we have right now. And that is why, you know, people have come up to me in rural areas as well as within the cities and have stated clearly that, you know, they want a member of Congress that will work for their interests. And not, again, for extreme partisan ideology. And Derek Van Orden has no plan. He's been very clear that, you know, he wants to play partisan politics. He does not, he has not rolled out a plan for rebuilding our manufacturing sector in this district and in this state and in this country. He has not rolled out what his plans are for agriculture and for family farmers. He has not laid out what his plans are as far as job creation and, you know, workforce development. We haven't heard anything from him on this, nothing. Instead, he sits in his basement and he's active on Twitter. We can do better than that.
Brad Paff, you've mentioned rural policy and agricultural policy. And I would say, you know, if you have a specialty, you, of course, were the ag secretary designee before the Republican legislature played politics. But, Brad, what are the issues? A big portion of the third CD here, this is a rural part of the state. There's a lot of agribusiness going on here, Brad. What should be the issues front and center? What should the people be paying attention to? And what do you think should be moving voters at the ballot box, issue-wise?
Well, I'll say first of all, that the people of this district need a member of Congress that understands rural communities and rural people. My family's been in this district since the mid-1800s, since the 1850s, when they first came to this country. I'm seventh generation. The thing is, I know rural communities, and I know rural people, and I know rural values, and I understand the work ethic, the dedication, and the resilience. I just didn't move into this district and say I'm going to run for office. I mean, the thing is I have been working for the people and the communities of this district. Obviously, agriculture plays a tremendous role in this district, but it's more than just economics. Agriculture is more than just dollars and cents. It's also part of our heritage. It's part of our culture. So, I mean, we need to have a member of Congress that can feel comfortable talking to rural residents. May they make a living farming, or may they make a living doing something that's affiliated with rural industries. We have to have someone that feels comfortable speaking to those constituencies, understanding their day-to-day struggles that are taking place, and will be a member of Congress that will work for their interests. Now, Derek Van Orden, you know, anybody can talk the talk, but he has no idea what is happening out in the countryside. May it be on a farm where, you know, that family farmer is doing everything he or she can in order to make ends meet, or may it be that local small business person is doing everything they can in order to make their business succeed because it's based upon, you know, the economy of the family farmers. We need to make sure that we have a member of Congress that understands this lifestyle, understands the ups and downs of that kind of economy, and as somebody that's willing to reach across the aisle and be able to try and find some type of common ground, may it be on health care issues. Let's face it, our family farmers are largely self-employed. May it be on health care issues. May it be on tax policy as far as trying to transfer the farm from one generation, the mother and father, down to the next generation, the son or daughter. May it be on trying to create new markets for products. New markets that could be local or regional or even international. In this congressional district, we have North America's largest organic dairy cooperative, Organic Valley. It's based right here in this district. But on top of that, in this district, the majority of the nation's cranberries are grown. Those are completely different industries, but it's agriculture, it's rural, it's farming, we have to be in touch here. We've got to be able to communicate. Derek doesn't understand that. He doesn't understand that at all. I mean, Derek's going to take his P's and Q's from whatever Kevin McCarthy, the minority leader from California, tells him, or whatever Marjorie Taylor Greene has said the night before on a cable news program. That's where he's going to take his political lead.
Brad Paff, you have garnered the endorsement of the retiring Congressman Ron Kind. And if the listeners of this fine program would like to support your candidacy, Brad, how can they get involved? How can they reach out, give a few bucks, whatever's appropriate?
Oh, well, thank you for that. Chuck, I am proud to receive the endorsement of Congressman Ron Kind, who's represented this district for the last 26 years. But I will say this. I am proud to receive and be the nominee for the Democratic Party here for the 3rd Congressional District. We had a tremendous primary. We had, four good candidates, and I was very excited.
Brad, please, sir, give them the website before we run out of time.
It is www.bradpaff.com. Please.
Brad, we won't let you be a stranger. Thank you so much for your time. Come back. More Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Crudy's been on the road all summer long, but today I am in Richland Center, Wisconsin. I am in the RC, News from the Center, the new WRCE 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. If you haven't heard us yet, give us a listen. And want to thank our most recent guest, a fine one, Brad Paff. He is the Democratic nominee for the 3rd CD, and that's the La Crosse area. That's the Richland Center area. If you're listening on WFHR up in the Stevens Point area, that could be you as well, the 3rd CD. And we talk about retaining the House. The only way the Democrats are going to retain the House of Representatives is if Brad Paff beats Derek Van Orden. And in fact, here in the state of Wisconsin, there is a much more competitive 1st CD. That was formerly Paul Ryan, now Brian Stile. He's the rookie. He's up for his first re-election. And Ann Rowe is the Democratic nominee in the 1st CD, but that is a much more competitive district. Dale Schultz and I, and great guest earlier in the day, talked about the reapportionment, the gerrymandering. And it's been fixed. If you want to talk about rigged, the gerrymandering here in the state of Wisconsin is so freaking partisan. Republicans don't even serve your needs anymore, even if you're conservative, because they really are just in lockstep with whatever the Republican legislative leadership tells them to do. And it's usually gavel in and gavel out. It has not served the people here of the great state of Wisconsin. So anyways, I would strongly consider supporting Brad Paff in the 3rd CD. And I don't know if you heard my boy, Dale Schultz, say it before, but effectively, Ron Johnson is an insurrectionist in the opinion of former Republican, twice-elected majority leader Dale Schultz. Talking about your U.S. senator should have just said no to the fraudulent Trump electors. Instead, he said, oh, yeah, bring them. Bring them, more than willing to wade in. So anyways, an insurrectionist. I agree, sir. I have taken great issue with whatever it is that Ron Johnson has become. He's not the guy I remember. 844-967-2789. Still time for you to participate in this big show. But I think one of the bigger breaking news stories of the day, and we played this sound earlier, but just in case you're joining us late, Michael Gabelman, who produced no evidence of 2020 election fraud in a million-dollar election review, now suggests the country needs a revolution. Did you hear this? He's calling for a revolution. Former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gabelman told a group of Republicans this month that a revolution against government officials over the 2020 election has become necessary, but said people have become too comfortable to water the tree of liberty with blood. Here's a quote. For the first time in my life, I am beginning to wonder if America's best days are behind us, Gabelman said at the September 9th dinner hosted by the Republican Party of Outagamie County, according to audio released by liberal activist Lauren Windsor. I think she got Rojo on tape, you know, when he's laying out the vote totals, why Trump lost this state.
Yeah, yeah, she's gotten some good ones.
Anyways, Democrats called the comments disturbing and outrageous, noting Gableman produced no evidence. They called the election results in question after spending $1 million of taxpayer money to complete a probe authorized by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. And then Voss fired Gableman earlier this summer after calling his review an embarrassment to the state. A little late that you notice, a little late to the party, Voss, but better late than never. But anyways, meanwhile, on Monday, Gableman appeared in court to represent a Racine County man who admitted to committing election fraud. Gableman is offering counsel to the election fraudster. Here's a quote. Our comfort is holding us back from taking the action that is necessary, Gableman said at the September 9th dinner. The greatest challenge of our poor in this country is not lack of food. It's obesity. It's a beautiful world, but it's that very comfort that's keeping us from what our founders knew to be the only way to keep an honest government, which is revolution. So the corpulent Michael Gableman basically saying, you poor people, you people out there too fat, too complacent to do the right thing and get out there and march in the streets and, you know, shed some blood. Again, this is a quote from Gableman. Thomas Jefferson said that the tree of liberty must be watered by the blood of revolution in every generation. I don't think that's going to happen. He said disappointedly, question mark. Gableman is paid by the taxpayers for more than two decades to enforce laws. He was paid more than $100,000 and spent more than $1 million of taxpayer money during his election review. And Republican candidates for governor and attorney general Tim Michaels and Eric Toney and state Supreme Court candidate Dan Kelly, who spoke at the same event, according to the group's social media posts. So they're all in with Gableman. They didn't denounce the man, did they? State Rep. Mark Spritzer, a ranking Democrat on the Assembly Elections Committee who has sparred with Gableman over his probe, said Gableman has demonstrated that he is driven by anger and his wanted approval of far-right extremists since the beginning. Here's a quote. Now that he has lost his taxpayer-funded sham investigation, he's stepping up his violent rhetoric even more. This kind of violent rhetoric sadly isn't surprising, but it's still deeply disturbing and absolutely wrong. Either Mike Gableman failed to learn the lessons of January 6th, or he is actively supporting yet another attempt to violently overthrow our government. That was kind of my read. And Gableman and Michaels, Tim Michaels, of course, the gubernatorial candidate, well, they got the support of Donald Trump. They're backed by the former president and have promoted Trump's false claims about widespread voter fraud and irregularities manipulating the outcome of the 2020 election. Both have said they're open to the idea of decertifying the election outcome. And Eric Toney, the Republican AG candidate, has agreed with constitutional experts that decertification is impossible and illegal. That's why he's the, you know, least popular candidate on the Republican ticket right now. Now, Trump lost to President Joe Biden in Wisconsin by about 21,000 votes. Two recounts paid for Trump, nonpartisan state audits, judges, and a study conducted by the conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty have confirmed the election result. But Gableman was hired by Voss in 2020 to probe the election anyways. And at the time, Trump was pushing Voss to do more than question the election results. Yeah, do more. Do more, Robin. So anyways, we've got the former special sauce prosecutor calling for a revolution. He would not be marching in that revolution. He'd need a rascal scooter. So anyways, thank you to my fine guests today. They included Brad Papp, third congressional Democratic nominee, and former twice-elected majority leader Republican Dale Schultz from Richland Center. It's been a great day in Richland Center. Thanks for listening. Stick around. Baseball is next on WRCE Brewers in 3 minutes.
Shame on you.
You the man, sir. No, you the man, and that's the problem.